Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. And I would like to mention something first for those who perhaps have not come to my website, not my website, but my show today. I would like to say thank you and greetings, and to all of you, thank you for tuning in. And in case this is your first trip here, let me just give you a slight overview of what we do here. We bring in information from the spiritual hierarchy, and there are many individuals that I work with from the spiritual hierarchy, have received books from them, do conference calls with them, read from the Akashic Records. This is the Universal Akashic Records in the center of the cosmos that has your soul's history from the moment you came into physical form until this very moment. And you can find all this information at my website, www.carolynevers.com. Something that I would like to mention in addition to that is the last two Sundays, we had channeled Archangel Michael. And the Sunday on August the 26th was a remarkable session because Archangel Michael led individuals to do some planetary service to change something that was about to occur in Earth changes that might not be the most balanced entry into this planet. And then he followed that up last Sunday on the 2nd, and I mentioned this because it was a holiday weekend, and I there were many people, I'm sure, who were out there having a really good time, the last holiday, so to speak, before the school session for some. And I would like to mention this as they were two remarkable programs. And if you weren't on the line then, you might want to listen to the archives on those two programs because I think they were outstanding. And you'll notice if you came to the information on today's show that we are talking about Yeshua's, you might say, secret teachings. And this information came from a conference call that he had asked us to do, and we prepared for this on September the 6th, Thursday, September the 6th. And it was quite a remarkable session because he is choosing to use this venue of the conference calls to bring forth information that he says is very much needed now and is actually was never put down in historical records, and you'll understand why when you hear some of the information that I'm going to relate from that conference. So we have a caller on board, and your name, please.
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Charlene. How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, Carolyn. I get you and Carolyn and Charlene mixed up. Sorry about that. How you doing, dear?
I'm doing fine. What can I do for you, Brian?
Hey, I was going to say, what a wonderful past two shows you had.
Are you talking about the ones with Archangel Michael?
Yes.
Weren't they outstanding?
Very beautiful.
He tells me he's going to be doing another one later in the year, and that one is going to be on personal ascension with regards to the Earth changes. So I look forward to that one.
Yes. Well, I was looking at for today's program, and you were starting to talk about Yeshua.
Yes. Well, you were on that conference call, weren't you, Brian?
Not that one, no.
Oh, you missed that one, huh?
Yeah.
It was, I'm sorry that, well, I did send out the link so that you could hear it again. It's recorded.
Okay. Well, I had a question for you.
Yes?
I was wondering if Yeshua or the cherubim could look in a past lifetime for me. And what I'd like to know is, who was I or what was I doing in the times of the biblical days? Maybe in the time of at the time of Jesus, when Jesus walked here.
I'm chuckling with this, Brian, because if you're on that conference call, one of the things that Yeshua said was that everyone who was on that conference call had shared a lifetime with him during that time. And each person asked what that lifetime was, and he not only told each individual the life that they shared with him, but it was done in such a manner with such poetic words that just hearing the words, how he described these different individuals, just melted my heart. And what do you say? What do you say, Brian, that we take a moment and call him in and see if he will come and speak of you? What do you say we do that rather than asking the cherubim?
Sure.
Okay. Give me a moment. When we talk on the radio show like this, there's not a lot of time for a lot of dialogue. So
yeah,
what the masters usually do is show me pictures to illustrate a thought that perhaps is more complex.
Yes.
And so he has stepped forth, and he is saying that you might recognize this if you meditate on it. Most of us see Yeshua in a robe, many times a white robe. But when he and his friends traveled, they usually wore another cloak over top of that white robe because, as he says, the roads were very dusty. They weren't like paved roads like we're accustomed to riding our vehicles in. And so they were like packed down trails, and it was very dry in the area, and there would be a lot of dust that would be kicked up. And so he wore another robe over top of his regular robe. And he has asked me to discuss this with you because it has a connection with you. And the outer robe was darker, so it wouldn't show the dust. And when he would open up that outer cloak, that outer garment, and take it off, there was a very white garment underneath. And he had a loose belt that he tied around the waist that some people might classify as a cincture. It wasn't a belt like we were, but sort of like a woven. And he is asking you, when you meditate, to think of his garb then, because you wore the same garb when you walked with him. And he is showing me a scene of the two of you. There's no one else in this scene other than you and he. And you're walking side by side in what might appear to be a very intimate conversation. I see the back. I don't see the two of you from the front. I see the two of you from the back. And you're walking rather closely to one another. And he looks your way sometimes as he addresses a point or a piece of information to you. And you look his way as you speak to him. It is as if Nothing else in the world exists but the two of you. And the two of you pause, and the two of you then turn around and face one another. And as you do, he takes his hand and puts it on your right shoulder, and you look deeply into his eyes. And he says, and I have to admit, once you looked into his eyes, it was never anything that you would ever forget. Because I had the opportunity to look into his eyes. You know, they say the eyes are the mirror of the soul. And once you looked into Jeshua's eyes, it was like you were transported to another place, another time, another state. And he is saying, when you meditate and you see the two of us in our travel garments, I want you to see those eyes. I want you to remember. And he is saying, I could tell you personally who you were, but then this would be information that I would be given to you through another. I want you to remember, as right now you are on your journey of awakening, Brian, and you have tried very hard to awaken. And the reason why this is so important is because behind that awakening is memory. And he then turns and faces me, Brian. And he is showing his heart. And it is like there are coals of burning fire underneath of his heart. And he says, this is my love for all of you. I have a personal love for each and every one of you. And as he says this, it is a picture that is very similar to the ones that you see in the Sacred Heart. And it is as if these flames are becoming larger and larger and reaching out to everyone that is listening to this. And he is saying now, take your consciousness and put it into your heart chakra and feel my love for you. I don't think I could tell you anything else, Brian. I think you need to meditate on that.
Yes. No, well, thank you, dear Carolyn. And one last. Yes.
Also, listen to the copy of that conference call, because there is the most incredible meditation that he takes us through. And what he does is he takes us to, he created an entranceway to the next higher dimension where we're going to go when we ascend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to listen to that, because the more times you listen to it, it will integrate with your physical and will be a great help to you during the ascension period.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. One last thing.
Yes?
In the time of Jesus, when he walked the earth, did they also call him Yeshua? He explained, did they actually call him Emmanuel?
You might remember this. Yeshua. I mean, excuse me, Brian.
Yes.
He's standing right here. You understand that he had quite a sense of humor. We see him as this very serious individual, and he was serious when he suffered the pains of humanity. In the conference call, he talks about how he suffered when he saw people starving. He said it was very difficult for the people then to keep body and soul together because there were those who stole everything from them, all of their money, their labors. They were truly oppressed, and he felt great pain then. But the other times when he wasn't tired, and he talked about the fatigue that he had during these long walks and healing people and trying to be something to everyone, to heal everyone. And when he saw the face of a child, he spoke about how it gave him new hope, how the faces of the children helped him to remember who he was. And so when you ask that question, he chuckled because he has a tremendous sense of humor. And when you ask that question, he said he had many names. Every group of people had a different name for him. He said it depended on the group of people that you were talking to because of what he did caused so much turmoil in some circles. And stop and think about this. Here was a country where many individuals on different levels wanted to control the people. And here was this individual who was walking among them and was causing, great comment from among the people. The people wanted to follow him, and they wanted to hear him talk, and they walked from place to place to hear him. And those in control didn't like this, so they had names for him that wasn't very pleasant. And then he was an Essene, and he says that group of people called him brother, that he was considered a brother as many others were, and many called him a teacher. He was considered a rabbi and a teacher. So depending upon the group that is speaking or that you're talking about, they had so many different names. And so if you were speaking formally, that would be one name, because part of his name would be the son of Joseph. Then there were other groups. He is showing me a picture of a little child, and he is sitting on what looks like the wall. Oh, it's a step going up to the temple. And he said the children used to play there a lot. Yeah. It was one of those places where they would gather and play. And he would go there, and he would sit on the temple steps. And this was a place where he could instruct the children that when the crowds came, yes, they brought the children, but the adults always seemed to be the ones who would come and get his attention. But here on the temple steps, he could teach the little children. And he said that, the little children called him father because he would gather them up in his arms. I see one of the little children sitting on his lap. And he would hug them and kiss them. And I see this one little child looking up in his face, calling him father. And so he said the word Emmanuel was not a word that was used during his time frame, but after his time frame. But he said he had many names.
Well, Thank you, Kevin. And can Yeshua hear me right now? I just wanted to say a little something to him.
You wanted to say hello? Is that what you said?
I just wanted to say a little something to him.
Oh, you wanted to say a little something. Oh, okay. Yes, he's here. Not only is he here, but he is there, Brian.
Yeah.
And before you say anything, he wants you to put your consciousness into the heart area and feel his energy.
Yes.
It's a very distinctive energy. You know what Archangel Michael's energy feels like?
This, yes,
this
I do.
Energy is very different.
Well, what I like...
Know it yet.
Yes.
Yes.
What I like to say is, dear Yeshua, thank you for coming and walking this earth and teaching of the Universal Father, the Father's Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Oh, he said you're welcome.
Thank you.
Also,
well, thank,
from me,
yes.
Brian, do meditate on that because I think there are many doorways that you have to open now.
Yes.
And
well,
I would like to see you remember that time.
I shall. Well, you have a wonderful day, Carol.
You too, dear.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And so, my friends, I was telling you about this incredibly wonderful time when Yeshua came and did this conference call. And he said that he had actually come that time to prepare the world for ascension. That when Atlantis fell so many years ago, that there were no pathways that were open for souls to gather and make their upward move again towards the next higher dimension. So in Atlantis, humanity was in a higher dimension, and then when they fell in understanding, they fell so low that there had to be, you might say, a road opened up to move up into the next dimension. And he said this is what he did. This was one of the things that he did 2,000 years ago. And he is showing me now what looks like a stream of white light. And it is the pathways that he took between this dimension where we are in the planet and in the next dimension. He is showing me several different dimensions, actually. And as he explained on this conference call, we are there is one dimension on top of another, and he is showing this dimension where we are as the lowest dimension, the densest dimension. And this is what he did. He went back and forth between several different dimensions. I see it looks like four different dimensions that he moved between, laying down this path of white light so that this was the trail that we will be using in ascension. He did talk about that, and of course, when he was teaching his disciples or his apostles or words of his was taken down and written about, the people then would certainly not understand what the word dimension meant. So he spoke in terms of mansions in my Father's house, because that was something people could understand. So people then didn't understand vibration. They didn't understand the new life of what ascension might mean to us. So he used other words like wedding feast, because it was something that people would come together and understand, that individuals were joined, and perhaps in that joining there would be children, there would be new life. And so a lot of the words that used to describe some of what he is calling secret teachings were words that had to be used because the people of the time did not have a formal education. And he spoke about that, how desperately poor that they were, how they were taxed, how they didn't have leisure time, and that their abilities to move higher in, you might say, the lines of love was truly restricted because they didn't have an opportunity for formal education. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. And what was exchanged among the people were exchanges that were verbally for the most part. And so when one person is telling another person a story, they use their emotions with that story that they're telling. And so when you tell someone a story, if you're telling it and you have words that are either filled with fear or hatred, those mental energies now are passed to the next individual, and it can be registered and would be registered in their etheric body. So he talks a lot about people then had miscreated thought patterns, and some of it were their own because of the lives that they were leading, and some of them were from others because of the stories that were going around. You know, at that particular time, the people wanted to rise up and overthrow those who were oppressing them. So when you think of the individual at that point in time, talking about some of the aspects that we're talking about, the history of the Earth, such as Atlantis, and anything that had to do with ascension or vibration, wasn't anything that individuals could comprehend at that time. And he also spoke of those even in his inner group didn't understand all of this, that he had to speak in parables because so much of the truth as we know it could not be discussed on that level. So it had to be spoken of in parables, and sometimes the people hearing the parables did not understand the deeper truths. So that's why some of his teachings, you might say, are secret in the sense that they were so beyond what the people at that time could comprehend. And he said even the church that sprung up in his name did not understand what he was talking about. So here was an individual who had come for several different missions, and what he was teaching was over the head of many people. So that gives you a little idea about why some of these teachings are not well known today. Now, something that he spoke about, three groups who are living on Earth today. Now, by the way, before we get into that, I'm going to give number. Oh, we have a caller. I was ready to give the number and invite a caller.
Hi, Carolyn.
And you beat me to it. Who's
How
this?
Are you? My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Joe from New York.
How are you?
I'm great.
I have a question. I see that you've done some channeling of Metatron.
Yes.
A while back, for many times, I've been woken up at 4:44 in the morning. And I had read a book called The Messengers.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it connected this with Metatron in terms of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this at all?
I'm not sure about the 444, but are you talking about the book that is called The Messengers?
Yeah, it's about Nick Bunick.
Yeah, I read the book a long time ago, and you know you forget things when you read them a long time ago. So,
right.
You know, I'm aware of what you say, but like the details, I wouldn't recall.
Right.
what's your question, Jim?
Well, I wanted to know if you knew of any connection between, they connect Metatron and the 444s, almost like a calling or a contact to people, a spiritual contact.
Well, maybe you're aware of this, Joe. There are many numbers now that are being used to awaken people. You're probably aware of that, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
111.
Well, then you see, I mean, I see it on my clock a lot, too, 1111.
Yes, yes.
Some people are seeing 222.
Right.
I think your question in particular, though, is 444 associated with Metatron, and is that the number that he is using to awaken? What's coming to my ear now when you say that is his disciples.
Right.
See, I believe that the groups who are seeing different numbers are triggers that are in their psyche that is addressed to them because of different individuals that they have aligned themselves with.
Right.
So let me see what I can find out about Metatron and 444, if that's his number to... he's using to awaken his disciples, and I suspect that what's behind this, Joe, is you want to know if this is your path. Is Metatron trying to awaken you? Is that
happened many times?
But that's your real question underneath this, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm talking about in the dead of night being woken up.
Well, see, there's something about the dead of night that you, when they wake you up at the dead of night, you remember it, don't you?
Exactly. And at 4:44 a.m., there's not much else going on.
And then, there's another thing with that, too, when that happens, is it places an energy around it of importance so that when you finally do wake up from the day's work, you remember it. And it's not only that you remember it, it's like, oh, I've got to pay attention to that and find out what the message is for
me. Exactly.
Sometimes when you hear these things during the day, you see 11:11 on the clock, and you say, oh, that's interesting, 11:11, and you go back to
right.
duties.
Right.
But when you're waking up in the middle of the night, it's, ah, this is something different. This is something special. So let's see what we can find out, Joe.
Oh, I'd love that.
Actually... what I'm seeing is Metatron himself. Now, how he shows himself to me, each one has a different way, a different manner, and Metatron, when he comes, he shows himself to me as one who is sitting on a throne. The throne is kind of like the classical throne that one might see a king sit upon.
Right.
And it is very large, and he has his arms on the arms of this very large throne, and his hands come almost to the end of the arms and over the edge and down the side. It's very ornately carved.
Right.
And there is a lot of blues. There's rays coming from him. He wants me to describe this image to you because it is an image that he wants you to take with him, with yourself, of him. And he is sitting there, and these rays of energy are coming off of him, and they're moving. Have you ever seen the hot sun on a sidewalk in the summer? When
yep.
you look at the sidewalk, you almost see these rays coming out of it. It's like the heat bouncing off the...
Yes.
Okay, that is what these rays look like of energy. Is they are coming off of him. It looks just like that, the rays off of being reflected from a hot sidewalk. And
right.
these rays, as they shimmer away from him, they're mostly in colors of pinks and blues. These are very delicate pastel colors, and there are some greens. They're primarily pinks and blues and greens. And he is asking you, do you recall ever looking into your heart chakra and seeing those three colors entwined with one another?
Yes.
That is what these colors that are shimmering off of him, these colors of energy, is vibrating to those three colors that is in your heart chakra. And he says, now, Joe, can you look into your heart chakra and see those three colors at will, or is this something you've really got to go into deep meditation?
Yeah, it's not at will.
Okay. What he is suggesting that you do is, when you meditate, go into the heart chakra, see those three colors. Now, when you see them, do you see them sort of look like they're braiding one another? It's almost like a braid.
Right.
Okay. Follow that, he is saying. And that picture that I gave you, described to you, of him sitting on the throne.
Yes.
Meditate on your heart chakra. See those three colors. Trace them up above you until you see that image. That descriptive image that I just gave you of him sitting on his throne.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the two of you will be able to connect with one another, and he will be able to give you his messages. He said that the reason that you are seeing these numbers, they are his numbers. You are seeing them because you made an agreement with him before you came into this lifetime, and now is the time to awaken to his messages.
Okay.
So you got a little homework for yourself.
Yes.
But it is a beautiful homework. And he has a marvelous sense of humor also. You will enjoy it, I'm sure.
All right.
Okay, have a good day, Joe.
Thanks,
Let Donald. Me know how that works out.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Well, that has... the messages today has been very interesting. Folks, if this kind of information resonates with you, consider joining the conference calls. They're on my website, carolynevers.com. If you check the right-hand corner, top right-hand corner, you'll see a button that says conference calls, and it gives you all the information. You can actually hear, play one, an earlier conference call with Archangel Michael. Also, I will be having a free conference call next Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. If you want to join us, send me an email. On that particular conference call, people will be able to come with their questions. We'll have a discussion, a group among those who call in. And
hello,
we'll
Carolyn.
Wait, let me just finish this sentence, dear.
Okay.
And we'll call in the masters to answer them for you. Yes, who's calling?
This is Eleanor from Florida.
Hi, Eleanor from Florida.
Hi. I was listening before the what you were saying about Jeswar, which is also Sananda. And,
yes.
Okay. I have seen him many times in my meditation. And he does, I've seen him with a white robe, or I've seen him with like a beige color with the robe around his waist. Now my question is, when I meditate, I see beautiful blue eyes.
Brian, that's Brian, how I see them, dear.
Is that his eyes?
I just said that's how I see his eyes.
Oh, my.
Now, I want you to take a moment, Eleanor.
Yes.
Take your consciousness outside of yourself in front of you.
Okay.
And I want you to see If you can see his eyes now.
Oh, I see eyes.
Mm-hmm. He is standing here. He's telling me for you to look and see his eyes. He is suggesting that you glance a little higher, see his forehead.
Yes.
Can you see his forehead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he is saying, look down towards his lips.
Towards his lips?
Mm-hmm. He wants you to look and see if you can find his lips.
Okay. All right.
Do you see them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you have any doubt now that this image of eyes that you see in your meditations is he?
No. Oh, my, my.
Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, my, my. I wondered for years, because for years I've been seeing these beautiful blue eyes right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, is it Archangel Michael? Is it, you know, but when you mentioned the eyes earlier, and
but
saying,
I didn't say what color. I just said that once you see his eyes, you will never forget them.
No, but it just kind of, I kind of connected, and I'm saying, I'm wondering if that's exactly, because I've seen him many times.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen coming out of a cave.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Mother, I've seen Archangel Michael, but these beautiful blue eyes right in front of me, I could never figure out who it was until you mentioned before eyes, but I connected and I figured I have to call and find out.
Well, Eleanor, he went through this, if you want to say demonstration, for a particular reason. And he is telling me that he did this so that you would not doubt yourself anymore.
No, I won't.
Yeah, he says, don't doubt yourself.
No, now no. I know when I'm seeing these beautiful blue eyes,
uh-huh,
who it is.
Yes.
Oh, my.
So don't doubt yourself, Eleanor.
No.
No.
No. Thank you.
Now, before you go,
yes,
he wants you to look down in the heart area.
Okay. My heart?
His heart.
Oh, his heart. Oh.
What are you seeing?
Rays, you know, like the sun. You know,
he wants you to see his love.
Oh, I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Now, he is saying that there, right now, you are feeling something. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling that it's hard for me to stay on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the balance, it's like I want to fly away.
That's part of it, Eleanor. He also wants you to remember this feeling that you're feeling, because right now you were embraced in his love.
Oh.
And when you meditate or you go to bed at night, he wants you to remember that. That is the connection to him.
Oh. Well, every night before I go to bed, I call Sananda and enfold me in the five rays. And every night, and when I do my meditation, I call him as well, and which is purple, blue, Archangel Michael, silver, gold, and platinum.
Well, sweetheart, you are loved. You know, just remember that and understand that what you are seeing is true. So have faith in yourself. And I'm real glad to be able to be here and connect you with him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Thank you. Love you, Sananda. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Eleanor.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, I think what I'm going to do for now, friends, is instead of giving more about this first lesson that Yeshua gave to us, I'm going to open up the show, because we don't have a lot more time here, to someone else who might have a question for from Yeshua or want to connect in some way. He is here, and he told me earlier today that he would come and answer your questions. And so the number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, the toll-free number there is 888-815-9756. And while we're waiting for somebody to think of their question and give us a call, I would like to remind everyone that the schedule of conference calls is at my website, www.carolynevers.com, and that's carolynevers.com. And if you've never attended a conference call, they are quite remarkable. What the individual usually does, and we have different masters, we have a large group of them that come for different reasons on the conference call. They usually give me a message of some sort, which is teaching. They then have a meditation, and then it is open to questions like we're doing now. And so we have another caller who had called in, and your name?
Hello.
Hello. Your name?
Carolyn, this is Lila.
How are you, dear?
Yeah, how is your foot?
Oh, it's, you know, it's getting better. I've had people send me Reiki. It was a heavy dish I dropped on it.
Oh, boy.
I actually cracked a bone. And one of my healers had got knitted together. So I'm just amazed at how much pain can go away as fast as it did with God working on it and all of my wonderful people sending me Reiki.
Well, today, as you know, is 999, and I wonder if the Lord has any particular message he wants us to have about 999.
Now, what do you mean, my 99? That this is your...
No, nine.
No, what I'm
number
saying
nine.
Is, this is your energy, or it's isn't it everybody's energy, or you just want to know in general, right?
In general, yes. What does he have to teach us about this particular day?
Apparently,
999, because
you think
they,
it's something special. The numbers are special. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're finding something special in the fact that it is the ninth month and the ninth day.
And actually the year...
The year, I was trying to get to that.
2007, it adds up to nine. So they're saying it's a 999 day,
yeah.
And it's a day of completion.
Oh, you're such a clever person. Do you ever listen to Alison Bauman's show, Visible by the Numbers?
No.
She's on Monday night. If you like numbers and you're interested, I really would suggest that you listen to her show, because she's marvelous with that. And she gets into each number and explains it. And the interesting thing about numbers is there can be so many explanations of a number. You know, you can talk about completion, so forth. But depending upon what subject you're talking about, a number can relate in a different manner. Now,
yes.
Instead of giving information about 999 in general, I'm going to ask about you in particular, since you had asked that question. And I prefaced that because the information that I'm giving to you might not be the same information for another person.
But in general, they're saying that today is a very important day for the world in our ascension, because it's bringing people to a place where they're going to really think, and it's going to change every heart because of the vibrations of 999.
But, Twyla, you just asked two different questions. I've got to have one question. You've asked
well, like
999
as
it pertains to you, and then you asked as it pertains to the world. Now, which one do you want me to ask about?
Well, certainly what pertains to me would be more.
Okay. Let's go with that. Because when I ask a question, I have to be very clear about it to get a precise answer. So I will ask about you in particular. And let's
okay,
see
good.
Who wants to answer that one. Okay. Yeshua said he will answer that since he is here, that there is no point in calling in someone else. And he is reminding you of what he told you at the conference call, when you were on the conference call and you wanted to know how you were connected with him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And he is saying, what do you remember from that? Very, you know, very briefly in one sentence. What do you remember that he told you of your connection with him?
That I was one of those who prepared the people for his coming.
Yes. You were the wise person who did the writing. And he is showing me again that same scroll. And he's using the word scribe. That you have been a scribe for him many times, not just in that lifetime, but many times you have been the scribe. You have written information for him. And yes, this is a moment of completion, but it is also a moment of a new beginning if you choose to go that route. In other words, here we have a day where you have come to the completion of many things that you have done in the past, and you've got a way, like there's a door opening that you can go to another path if you wish, and that other path, Twyla, if you wish, is to bring forth these written truths again as the scribe, if you so wish, that you did many years ago for him.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to do that.
Twyla, we're right here at the moment when I've got to make room for the next host coming on. I'm so glad that you called. And if you want to speak about that more, you can call the free conference call next week. And we can pursue that further, but for now, I've got to say goodbye to you and all those other wonderful people online.
God bless you, honey. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too, Twyla. Bye.
Bye.
And for all of you out there, goodbye to you too. Until the next time, you can tune in on Sundays, my show on Wednesdays, and every other Saturday. Talk to you soon.